Welcome to another episode of Divorce TV, and we have today Henry Elliston, financial planner, who's going to be one of the stars of the upcoming Divorce Financial Workshop, and he's going to be telling us a bit about what he'll be doing there. We've got a shared story from Jonathan Burston, who is a divorce coach who's been on the show before, but he's going to share some interesting stories, an interesting story from one of his clients that some of you could find very useful to know. And to end with, we will be having a recorded session from one we had before, but it was so great I've brought it back, which is Debbie Talalay, who's a theta expert, and she's going to be doing a lovely meditation for us to finish with. But for now, let's get on with the news. So first we have from page six, Erica Girardi is sued for allegedly embezzling money in divorce. Now, Erica and Tom Girardi's divorce is allegedly a sham, according to a new lawsuit. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star and her lawyer husband were sued by Adelson PC, a class action firm, on behalf of a number of Boeing plane crash victims for allegedly embezzling settlement funds meant to help the victims of the Lion Air Flight 610, per federal court documents filed recently. Now, the suit claimed that Tom and his law firm, Girardi Keys, are on the verge of financial collapse and locked in a downward spiral of mounting debts and dwindling funds. And his need to fund outrageous lifestyles for himself and his soon-to-be ex-wife, Erica Jane, is the reason for her spontaneous divorce filing earlier this year. The lawsuit alleges that divorce is simply a sham attempt to fraudulently protect Tom's and Erica's money from those that seek to collect on debts owed by Tom and his law firm GK. So it does seem a bit of an insult to those who lose so much through divorce for this to be a sham in order for people not to lose money. But in theory, at least it should be a peaceful one. But if this is really what's going on, I do hope they don't get away with it. Now we have from the Mail Online, Kelly Clarkson. Now she's getting awarded primary physical custody of her two children. The 38-year-old singer is in the middle of divorcing her music manager husband, Brandon Blackstock, whom she split from in June. A Los Angeles judge stated that the kids should be with one parent when in Los Angeles because co-parenting has been a struggle due to trust, it was revealed in a late October court date. The judge's ruling on custody prompted Blackstock to file additional legal documents seeking $436,000 a month in support payments from Clarkson. He's asking for $301,000 in spousal support and $135,000 in child support, according to TMZ. He's also requesting that his soon-to-be ex-wife covers $2 million in legal fees. I hope this is stuff he can justify and isn't just him being cross because he hasn't got the level of co-parenting control that he wanted. The estranged couple will share joint physical and legal custody, but Clarkson will have primary physical custody when in Los Angeles, according to the site. Blackstock will be visiting the children. That requires a lot of travel as the children will be living in Los Angeles because that's where Clarkson, their mother, tapes her TV talk show. And he'll be staying in Montana where the family owns a ranch. So River and Remy, their children, spent Thanksgiving with their father and will also be with him from December the 19th until 2 p.m. on Christmas. And Kelly gets to see her little ones after 2 p.m. on Christmas until the New Year's holiday. There's going to be a lot of you right now sorting all that out, I imagine, and it can be complex. The pop star told the Los Angeles Times in September, "I'm a very open person, but I'm not going to be able to be truly open about this in certain aspects because there's kids involved." Well, I'm really glad to hear that is the case. It makes a nice change for celebrities. Some of them aren't quite so careful about what the children might pick up, but it is a shame that they haven't managed to build a trusted co-parenting relationship. And in this way, I mean, if they're safe with the parents, how hard can it be? You know, set up an Our Family Wizard diary, Split Smart, if you go to the Best Way to Divorce app, we've got a special code for a little while that you can access a reduced price on Split Smart, and you can use that to create a co-parenting plan without even talking to each other. So there really is no excuse not to get these things together. And sometimes that can be a way to start rebuilding trust. And then finally, BBC News, COVID ended our marriage, the couples who split in the pandemic. Oh gosh, I know you've heard all about this. There is a reason I've picked this, but it comes at the end. You'll wait and see. So around the world, from South America to West Africa, it says, previously happy couples are splitting up and many are divorcing. The stress of the pandemic has been blamed by some, while others say it has highlighted old problems. I suspect it's the latter. The number of couples seeking relationship counselling has surged during lockdown. A survey by the UK charity Relate in April found that nearly a quarter of people felt lockdown had placed additional pressure on their relationship. A similar proportion had found their partner more irritating, with women reporting so more than men. Lockdown created a make-or-break environment, the charity says, with people having relationship realisations, both good and bad. A further survey by the charity in July found 8% of people said lockdown had made them realise they needed to end their relationship, but 43% said lockdown had brought them closer. And for those who did split, there's a nice end to the story here. In Brazil, Richard and Rafaela have managed to navigate the end of their marriage amicably and remain friends. Rafaela has moved to a place nearby. They still see each other every day, sharing the care of their two girls. She says lockdown made us face the problems with courage and resignation and not run away, says Richard. Rafaela nods. Separating wasn't what I wanted, she adds, but I didn't see any other alternative. I think we are two very nice people. I think we both deserve to be happy. And on that positive note, we are now going to move on to talking to our expert, Henry. Welcome, Henry. Good to see you again.
Hi, Phoebe. How's it going?
And just before we go on, there's a QR code in front of everyone can see to the right of their screen. Where does that go if somebody uses it with their they put the camera up on their phone, don't they, to make a website pop up? Where do they go?
Camera up on the phone. I haven't got mine on me, actually. My phone on me. Yeah, and that'll take you to a link to Calendly. And so then you'll be able to stare into my diary and see quite how busy I am or I'm not, and book yourself a 15 or a half hour session with me. Primarily, I suppose, just so I can get an understanding and build a picture around where you're at the moment and why you might need my help. And then if I can help, then what we tend to do is we arrange for a more in-depth meeting nowadays over Zoom at a later stage. But that's where it takes you.
Perfect. And that will be a good idea. And also, we're going to talk about now the Divorce Financial Workshops coming up on the 21st of January. Sometimes people might not be able to wait that long, which is why they might want to get hold of you in advance. Now, just to frame this, people would be finding particularly the workshop and definitely talking to you important if they have any assets to split. And that might be, what would that be? Give people an idea. Because sometimes people aren't fully aware of all the things that are taken into account with divorce financially.
Yeah, that's right. So part of the presentation that I give at the workshop is really just to get people to start thinking about what assets are included. And so obviously, I mean, the marital home is the obvious one that we have to start thinking about and getting valuations. And clearly with COVID, that's been a bit odd for some property prices because they crashed at the start, and now with the stamp duty holiday, they seem to have boomed again. And then who knows what will happen next year? My suspicion is they might fall down a little bit again. So property is the obvious one, but then we need to have a look at things like your other savings, and whether that's cash savings and deposits, or actually, you know, you might have investments, things like ISA accounts, cash ISA accounts, and stocks and shares ISA accounts. So we take a look at those. And then the one that quite often gets overlooked, I find, is the pension assets. And that can be really where things get quite tricky, because pensions themselves are quite tricky and they've got various tax rules that fall around them. And of course, you've got some people who have defined contribution pensions and some people who've got defined benefit pensions. And now's certainly not the time to go into a long soliloquy on the difference between those. But understanding what you've got and what your other half has, so that you can try to create a fair and equitable split of those assets when you get to that part of the process, is what I'm here to help with, I suppose.
And I think there's definitely people who come to the workshops. That's one of the things I'm always amazed how much they are fascinated and seem to enjoy the whole financial presentation, because I guess it is very empowering, isn't it, to know that A, what it is you can split, and to have an idea that you need to look beyond the divorce, don't you? Because I always say to people that you have like a crystal ball and you look into the future. So, and you call that long-term cash flow forecasting. So tell us a little bit more about that. And also perhaps in relation to the shared story that you gave us last week, which was a lovely example of how valuable that is, that long-term cash flow forecasting.
That's it. Yeah, so I mean, quite a lot of it then comes down to the cash flow forecasting. And I mean, in brief, what a cash flow forecast is it looks at how much income you're going to collect from all the various different sources that you may have. Obviously the salary is the main and obvious one, or the pension if you've retired, but it may well be that you have some sort of a maintenance, child benefit payments, and those sort of things. So we plug all that in, and then through conversation we try to get a feel and a handle of how much you spend. Now, it can be fairly obvious, you know, some people spend all their money on their credit card and then pay their credit card off at the end of the month. Other people work in different ways. And through that, we can then build a picture of how much income somebody needs and how much they're getting, and whether or not there's going to be a shortfall. And of course, if there's a shortfall, then immediately that may well impact to some degree on the divorce settlement that's agreed, you know, whether a spousal maintenance order needs to be looked into. But also what it really helps do is it helps focus the mind away from the divorce and actually to the future. And what is life going to be like from a financial perspective in the future? Will they have enough? Is just turning your nose up at the pension because you don't really understand it a wise thing to do? Or should you be driving a little bit harder and trying to get a slightly greater share of the pension? The client I'm working with at the moment may well be trying to do that, because the understanding is that her husband has great capacity to top up his pension in the remaining 10 or so years that he's got in the workforce, and she really doesn't. So it actually might make more sense for her to try and take a bit more of those pension assets just to protect her and make sure she can lead a happy and comfortable retirement. And as she said last week, I explained a lovely story of a lovely story, as lovely as, you know, stories get in the field of divorce, it must be said, of a young couple who were sadly breaking up. And I think they were both coming, I've worked with both of them, it sort of as a neutral in this case. And from her perspective, she was just worried about the future. Was she going to have enough? How was the children were going to stay with her? How was she going to look after the children or afford to look after the children? And on the flip side, he was just a bit nervous that she was coming after everything and he was just going to have to hand everything over, the equity in the house, and it was all going to be hers. And so both of them had quite rightly concerns. And through the cash flow forecast, what we demonstrated was, I mean, they were going to sell the family home, of course. But actually, when they shared the proceeds, probably not 50-50, if the truth be told, it's probably going to be slightly weighted towards the wife. But actually, through both of them seeing this picture of how things were then going to map out, actually, they've both gone away quite comfortable and relaxed that actually it doesn't need to be a terrible struggle, a terrible fight, trying to grab every last penny from each other. But actually, a fairly reasonable, sensible settlement can be arranged where both of them will then be able to go off and lead happy, happy lives with all the, I say all the money they need. I'm sure they would both happily say they wanted more money, but they'd both be able to lead financially stable lives at any rate.
It's that idea of being able to look into the future, know that you've got enough and you're going to be comfortable, means you don't, you're not scrabbling around trying to grab as much as you can, because you're not in a position of fear anymore, which is important, because we call the workshop, don't we, take away the divorce finance fears, because that's basically what you do. You're a fear buster on finances. And just because we've got, before we, just to finish, as you're a father, as I can hear in the background, It's lovely. It's far enough away. It's not covering up what you say at all. But it's lovely, and it's such an important reminder that, you know, most of us are parents, especially those who are also going through divorce. And do you find that often the parents haven't really accounted for the long term costs of the children?
Yes, it's interesting. I think for the children. Because, I mean, I suppose actually people tend to come to me quite early in the process, and perhaps they haven't even got to the point of arranging a, you know, the child custody and who's going to spend what time with who. Children cost a lot. I mean, I'll tell you that for free. and one of the things that's quite tricky with children actually is to try and work out a budget of how much it's going to cost you in the future. As a parent, you've never been through it before. I mean, it's a first time round. There's no dress rehearsal in that sense. And so it can be quite tricky in understanding, you know, the toddler doesn't eat as much as an 8-year-old, I am now discovering. Although bizarrely, a 4-year-old seems to eat as much as an 8-year-old, but she's just got a very big appetite. And so I think what really helps is just sitting down with a specialist who has met with different people, different stages of life, different understandings of children, and whether they're at private school or not a private school, or, you know, whether or not I'm working with someone at the moment whose son is trying to become a professional tennis player. And of course, they will have different costs, and it does need to be worked in, and it does need to be thought through. But of course, you can't just say, my child is going to cost me £1,000 a month. Actually, I think a little bit more science needs to be put into it, and actually having a think through, what's it going to cost? How much are they going to be fed? How much is school trips going to cost? School uniforms going to cost? And all that sort of stuff. And actually, you see, if you then go back to your ex and say, look, I have thought this through. I totally get the cost of running a child, as it were. And this is why I'm demanding this amount of money. And if that means that we need a spousal maintenance order, for example, that's okay. We can then just tie the spousal maintenance order into the point at which the child leaves school, for example. And I think it goes back to what we said just now, but it's in demonstrating the sort of, that it's a well thought through and coherent argument that's actually, you know, it's a needs basis that you do require this money to look after your children. That actually, in my experience, does seem to dissipate some of the angst and the anger and the fear and the worry. And if that can help you sort of get through the finances and then actually concentrate on looking after the children properly, I mean, that's probably a far better way of channeling your energy, I should think.
So in essence, to round off, Henry, who is the person that a couple should speak to, an individual, if they're not able to do it as a couple at that stage, at the early stages of divorce, to start to get the head around how the finances might be split? Because most of them would think lawyer immediately, and yes, they can get some basic advice from a lawyer, but who should they be talking to about the finances?
You're absolutely right, because a lawyer's there, the lawyers know the law, and I must confess I don't know the law. I have no intention of learning it either. I've seen some of the books on the lawyer's tables, and they're long and thick and full of Latin. The lawyers know the law. But what they're not specialists at, they're not specialist financial planners. So they understand to a degree what a pension is, but they're certainly not qualified to understand how properly to split it. They might know how the courts would look at splitting it, but they don't then understand how that then is going to affect the individual. And so, of course, I mean, of course, I'm going to say me, a financial plan.
Well, that was the answer I was looking for. At least if they should see a financial planner. And of course, if they see you, they're seeing a chartered financial planner, which is even better.
Indeed,
even
I'm a better. Fellow of the Personal Finance Society. I'm one step above chartered, but there we are.
Oh, wow. Just update me on that. That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Henry. And I look forward to, if not before, seeing you and the Divorce Financial Workshop on the 21st of January. Anyone who uses the QR codes form on my slides will take you to the app, and that's the best way to access it. So take care. Thank you so much, Henry.
Thanks, Susie. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's brilliant. So, yeah, absolutely. Make sure that you... make sure that you see a financial planner if you have any form of assets. And that might be buy to lets, might be business, it's lots of different areas, but anything to do with the money. And it can increase it does increase the opportunity for it to be more peaceful, because you're dealing with facts and figures and proper projections, and you're focused together on what's best for you as a family, and that's going to be fair for both of you, and make sure the children are going to be okay. And that really should be your focus. So a very short masterclass today. And I just wanted to do a little bit on, it's the legal aspect. We're still on the set sail intelligence, which is the part of the workshop that is the online masterclass, divorce masterclass, which is focused on, well, to be intelligent is really to do your homework and make sure you know what everybody does. And there's a couple of legal areas that are relevant. I just wanted to quickly run through. One is wills and trusts. And of course, this is an area that Henry can certainly put you in the direction of helping you with this. And getting a new will and putting property into a trust to protect your children's inheritance are often important considerations when organising the financial aspects of divorce, because divorce can take longer than you think. And so letting your family assets go to someone and their family who are no longer such a key part of your life should anything happen to you is something to guard against. So the way I always put this is that if something horrible should happen to you and you haven't updated your will during that divorce process, then everything could go to your or soon to be ex and their new partner, instead of going to the children. You can put that money so that it goes to them in a trust fund. So these are the kind of things you want to be talking about. Again, at the Divorce Financial Workshop, we have a wills expert there, so you'll be able to ask any questions about that. And the other one is conveyancing. I have to say this comes more from a personal experience of when you, if you get the wrong conveyancer, it can really hold up the selling or the buying of your house. And at a time when you really do want these things to go very, very smoothly. So it's worth choosing your own. Don't just take whoever the mortgage company may offer for free. It's a lovely to have that free service, but as I discovered to my cost one time, it can be a false economy. So as with all the professionals, check them out, talk to them, and choose the right people for the job. So now we're going to move on to our shared story with Jonathan. Welcome, Jonathan.
Susie, hi, how are you?
Great. And you've got a nice little QR code. What happens if someone points at that? Because you're a fearless divorce. You're a divorce coach. You've been on the show before. But today you're going to be sharing a story with us. But if anyone does use your QR code, where do they go and what happens?
So they will end up on my website, fearlessdivorce.com, where they can find out a little bit more about what I do, who I am, and the services that I provide to clients to help them positively navigate the divorce process, so they can come out of it much stronger and determined and create the life that they want to lead post-divorce.
Fabulous. Do you have any, free giveaways, downloads, anything like that?
Well, you're absolutely right. Yes, I do. So I have a guide on the four factors that impact every divorce and how to manage them. Which you can click the button and sign up and download it, and it can help you understand a little bit about those factors, what those factors are, and how you can manage them so that they don't impact your divorce like they impact many people who go through divorce.
Yes, and as you know yourself, because you've been there and done it, haven't you, which led you to do what you do. But your shared story today isn't your personal story, is it? It's one of your someone you've been working with. Pat, yes, let us hear what you have to share.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking about the shared story just the other week, actually, when I was speaking to my client. And it is a gentleman I'm working with at the moment. And this is present in most divorces. It's not just male-driven or female-driven. But this gentleman was negotiating his financial settlement, or is in the process of negotiating his financial settlement with his ex-wife. And the reality is she put a figure on the table and then quickly dictated to him, that's the best you're going to get, take it or leave it, it's fair and equitable. And he then felt that actually that was his starting point from which to negotiate his settlement. And as a result of that, he started to think in his own mind as to, well, that's not what I need, but she's telling me what that's the best I'm going to get, and therefore I'm almost having to accept it. And the conversation that I had with him is that, you know, in business negotiations, and you've heard me say this before, Susie, that a divorce is purely a business transaction with a lot of emotional noise that sits around it. And we often allow that emotional noise and the monkey mind, you know, within our brains to take control of us, and therefore to tell the stories that to lead us down particular paths. Whereas what we really need to do is just take that step back and try and look at it from a much more objective, much more rational, almost a helicopter view to look in on whether it's the right thing to do. And the make the point with him, actually, the work we're doing is actually that first figure is just designed to be an anchor from which negotiations then push and pull. But if you're not careful in your own mind as the person receiving that anchor figure, you're then starting to create some sort of emotional attachment to it, which is obviously what the other party wants you to do, particularly when there's some animosity in the divorce process. And so therefore it creates its own trigger, and you become attached to it. But actually what you're trying to do, and the work we've been doing with him, is to disassociate yourself from that figure, because actually if you associate with it, it leads you down the wrong path. But actually what you need to do is take a step back, and part of the work we're doing is to take him up that level to say, actually, what does life look like after divorce? What do you need from your divorce to live the life that you would like to lead that is fair and equitable for you? And then to craft and say, well, I need to do these things. So what does that look like? On a piece of paper, in terms of the sort of, you know, I want to buy a house, and, you know, just that I want to have an existence that is, you know, I can look after my child in the house, etc. And so we worked through that and then went, okay, let's now compare that back to where you are and what you've been offered, and do the two match? And of course, not surprisingly, they don't match. So what then often happens is, as a party, you then start to think, and this is where he started to go, was, okay, therefore I need to give a counter anchor to it. And the work we did was say, well, actually, you're already negotiating yourself here. What you need to do is actually just say, no, that figure is not acceptable, and just push it back to the other party so that they start to negotiate against themselves rather than you're negotiating against yourself. And it's something I see quite regularly within divorce negotiations, where a price gets anchored and that's deemed as fair and equitable, and, you know, that's the best you're going to get type approach. But actually what you need to as a person is to say no to it and push it away. Now, by virtue of that, what often happens is the fact that you generally have one party in this that is either narcissistic or it has a tendency to dictate to another party. And this is an opportunity, and the work we've been doing with him as well is understanding what those emotional triggers are, because, you know, when you spend enough time with a partner, they invariably know the buttons to press to trigger those emotions, to trigger you going down a particular path, and they're generally smart enough to be able to push those buttons when they want to. And what we have to try and do is understand what those triggers are, and then to break that pattern, to say, okay, when that happens, you need to acknowledge that what you would normally do is go down that path, but actually, if you acknowledge it, what would you do differently? Whether that is take a deep breath, take a step back, walk away, whatever it happens to be, so that in your own mind you're managing your map so you can disassociate yourself from it. And part of the work we've been doing is working on those emotional triggers, so it allows him then to take that step back to say no, And actually to stand up for himself in the scenario, because he's being, and I think this is, happens in many marriages where there's one party with a more dominating character, where he feels a little bit under the cosh, and he's taken that sort of more submissive role, and he's now having to fight for something, which actually in the past is, he's just said, you know, roll over, I'll have my tummy tickled type approach. And
so you're helping him build that practical turns to how to get that confidence so he can do that, because it's a massive shift, isn't it, for someone who spent years doing as he's told to go, actually, no, this isn't good enough.
And the bit that he came out of one of the sessions was to say to himself, I realise that I'm fighting for my future here.
Yeah.
I'm fighting for my future, I'm fighting for my daughter's future, because the two of them will end up living together. And I thought, you're absolutely right, you've hit the nail on the head there, because you're realising you're fighting for your future, not as a joint future. And this isn't about creating more antagonism between both parties, but you have to do an acceptance of, I no longer have to accept what you say as the ex-partner, because you say it's true doesn't mean it's true. And for him, it was suddenly that sort of realization, that weight off his shoulder to say, actually, I've really got to stand up for myself. I'm fighting for my future. And if I don't fight for my future, then I've given in. And I realize I can't go and live that life that I want. You get one shot at, you know, generally most people get one shot at divorce, and you want to get it right. And then
he'll be bitter about it, which is going to make the, you know, spoil the co-parenting relationship. I always say, you know, that peace isn't fluffy. It is about having boundaries and learning to stand up for yourself, because actually that's often the most best way to manage the divorce. And that's why coaching is so vital. So earlier on, I was talking to Henry, and of course, if anyone's got assets, I always encourage them to talk to a financial planner. And a lot of people don't even know those exist. They just think they're like normal financial advisors. But often I say before, in a strategy session, before you speak to a financial planner, they're going to ask you all these questions about the future. And actually, anyone working with a coach like you will be able to not just envision that future, but find the confidence to want to go and get it. Because Henry might turn up with some great figures for them about what they need, but if they are actually nervous about going, well, then standing up for that, that's really difficult. Are there any particular sort of ways that you work with people to help them find that confidence? Because as we both know, it's not as simple as it being obviously in front of them. Well, yes, you should have this. This is what you need. It's like, you know, it is frightening to put in those boundaries when you're not used to.
It is, and often what I suggest to clients feels such at odds from what they think they need to go and do in the divorce process. But that's partly needing to break what they, how they perceive the divorce process to be. So I will often say to clients, get your mindset first, divorce second. Because if you get your mindset right, then you can start to navigate the divorce process in a much more positive way, and in a much more controlling way, in a positive controlling way. So spend a fair bit of time with a client actually painting the vision of what the future looks like. What do they want that future to look like? And we've spent time looking at their identity, because, you know, our identities get wrapped up in our marriages. And then when you suddenly pull them apart, you either have got to go and create an identity or find the identity you have. And what do you want your lifestyle to be like? What are the things you want to go and do? So start to paint that picture so that you can start to see there is a sort of light at the end of the tunnel, even if emotionally you feel raw, frustrated, angry. You've got to try and break that piece to say, okay, you're absolutely right to feel like that, but you've got to at some point think about the future, and you've got to acknowledge about you're looking forward. And if you can start to paint what that picture looks like for, as you are building the character that you want to be and the vision you have for your life going forward, then actually as you come back into the divorce process, you can start to say, all the decisions I'm making, do they help me move me forward towards that outcome, the outcome that I want? So come back to, I always say mindset first, divorce second, because if you start to understand who you are and the confidence you can generate from you designing what you want from your life and who you want to be at that higher level, you come out from down in the weeds, and you can get that much more helicopter view looking down on it. And then everything else you do can drive the actions and the behaviours that is leading you towards that outcome. I'm not saying it's easy, because, you know, it is a roller coaster through the divorce process, but you can make those ups that, or certainly downs, that are that little bit easier than they, you know, the real peaks and troughs of the roller coaster. So if you get that mindset right, then you can start to get confidence, the clarity, the control, and then you can, you know, commit to actually taking action and building the momentum.
And you're laying the Yes, and so and you're laying the groundwork, aren't you, then, for also a much healthier co-parenting relationship? Because you know, your kids need to see that you can work together, and you do need to redress a power balance to do that properly. So No, it's fantastic work that you do. Thank you so much, Jonathan, for coming on and for sharing that client story. And I think that's something that will resonate with lots and lots of people, both men and women. Thank you. See you again soon. Bye. And we're going to ready for our healing session with Debbie. And first, I'm going to just briefly remind you about the workshop on the 21st. This is for those in the UK. I have to say, actually, if you were in the US, there's lots of useful things for you there too, but it's primarily UK. We've got immigration lawyer, we've got wills and trusts, we've got collaborative lawyer, Weller's Family Law are sponsoring it. Henry, of course, who we saw earlier, will be there. Jonathan, who we just saw, he'll also be there. And we've got some even more than that. We've got a fantastic lineup of professionals, and it's a proper workshop, so you will be able to connect with everyone. And the other thing that you can do, if you use the app, their QR code to access it, which means you will immediately be able to access a load of videos and a welcome pack and lots of really useful information there. And also the free download of the divorce strategy planner and organizer, which is always a useful tool to have. So ready now for our healing slide. I'm gonna do the intro slide, and then we'll go straight in to Debbie.
And if everyone would please close their eyes, and I'm going to put each one of us under a shower of universal love so that you can be washed down, cleaned down, inside and out. And feel that shower on you. And now we are going to imagine a white light sword that is going to come through the top of your head, your top chakra. And this white light is going to regenerate all your chakras as it goes down through you. So let's start with the very top chakra. And this is your spiritual chakra. This light, regenerate it. Make sure that the color is true, that it's spinning correctly around this white light. And then when you feel that it's had it, been regenerated enough, let the light just move down to the next chakra, which is your third eye, and which is a dark blue, and let that regenerate. It needs to be spinning nicely, not all over the place. Good color, a true color, and let the white light make it into a true color. And then the light goes further down into your throat, and this chakra is for peace. And it is a light blue. And see that spinning. And feel the peace that it generates. Going further down, the light is going to enter your heart. And this chakra is green. And further down to your solar plexus, which is your power, your connection with others. And this is gold. And let it go further into your abdomen. And the next chakra is orange, and that is for relationships. Let it spin. And now further down to your base chakra, which is red. And make sure that red is a nice, true red. No dingy spots, no dark places in it. And see that it spins correctly. And now the light is going to go through you and out and start pooling around your feet. And it's going to become a large puddle. And as it comes through you even more, it's going to develop into a lake. And even more, it's going to go as far as the eye can see. And whatever is in that pathway is going to be converted to the light. So all the dark little bits and pieces can be converted to the light. And now we're going to take our bazookas out, our mental bazookas out, and aim them at the dark cloud hovering above your head. And see that black cloud shatter and splinter and leave you. And what is there in its stead? And we'll take the bazooka again and aim it at the black cloud behind the small of your back and see that evaporate. And now we are going to peel ourselves like a grape of the things that encompass us and are at tight bonds around us. So we will start off with betrayal. Let us peel ourselves of betrayal. And again, peel yourself of anger. And peel yourself of despair. And how about fear? Fear of the future, fear what's going to happen now. And how about hatred? Peel yourself off. And I'm sure you can all think of one or two that you might be carrying. Would you do that for yourselves now? Okay. Right, we are now going to reconnect ourselves with the Creator. So taking the energy from your heart up through the top of your head and send it out to the Creator. And the Creator is going to send back to you the Creator's energy through the top of your head, down through all the chakras to the base, and then back up to the heart. Breathe it in. And we're going to do the same to our souls, taking the energy from the heart up through the top of the head and off to the soul. And then from the soul, back to you, down through from the top of your head to the base chakra and back up to the heart. Breathe it in. And now repeat three times. I reclaim my power. I reclaim my power. I reclaim my power. And we're going to put as the last thing the shamanic circles of protections around us. So, seven circles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Breathe them all in, and when you're ready, open your eyes. Thank you.
I love that. Meditation with bazookas. It was very calming. So, on the battlefield of divorce, in the war of family separation, always, always make peace your weapon of choice.